Simo, the movie dude.
Good morning, Sean, for breakfast. Esperance's 747 Triple M. We're back with another movie dude review, and I've got a tired Simo this morning. Mate, you're a bit exhausted, are you?
Look, I am a bit tired, Sean. You know, sometimes I get hectic during the week.
You get hectic during the week?
Well, yeah, it was Oscar week.
How old are you? Like 12? Oh, my God. I had such a hectic week. What, you stayed up a couple of nights a bit late, did you? Hectic week, did you?
Well, like, Mum said I could stay up till 9:30, and I was like, is Blue Heelers on? And she was like, it hasn't been on for 20 years.
I want Sergeant Croydon back. How was the Oscars? What's your take on that? What, the movie that won, I'd never even heard of before. I've completely forgotten what it is called.
Well, guess what? That's what we're doing the review on.
Oh, boy! Doof, 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 doof. That's what the kids do, right? Shoot guns and things.
That's definitely down with the kids. We are in now. So we're getting that 12 to 18 demographic, Sean.
It's the market that we've always been chasing. We've captured the successful 30 to 35-year age, year-old market. Now we're going for the kids.
No, we've successfully captured 30 to 35 people in general.
Very good, very good. So so it's just won an Oscar, the best picture of 2018. It beat, what, Bohemian Rhapsody? It beat Black Panther. Why is it so good? What's it all about?
Okay, so best picture, if you don't know, which clearly a lot of people don't, and a lot of people were actually a bit, a bit miffed about this winning. It's called Green Book.
Okay. So is this, well, I don't know, is this a bit like... No, I've got nothing. What is this about?
Okay, let's have a little chat about the Oscars, just to get this out of the way. So there's kind of controversy about Green Book winning because it was up against Roma, which is this black and white Spanish Mexican. I realize they're two separate things, but it's set in Mexico, but they speak Spanish in the 1970s. 2.5 hour long kind of piece of life movie that you can watch right now, and that's great. It's meant to be, great movie of the year. Everyone thought that was going to win, and if that didn't win, everyone thought, oh, well, maybe Bohemian Rhapsody is going to win because that was really popular as well. And they also had A Star Is Born in there. They had Black Panther, which quite frankly was never going to win anything. It shouldn't have been nominated for Best Picture, but it was. And then they had Black Klansman, which is a Spike Lee movie, which was really good, that sort of thing. But this one came out of nowhere. No one expected this Green Book to win Best Picture. Everyone was like, okay, it's either going to be Roma or Bohemian Rhapsody or even maybe The Favourite. There's nothing else that anyone would have expected. And when it happened, everyone was like, what?
Well, hold on. But isn't Roma, and correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't there controversy about that because it was a Netflix movie? It wasn't released in the cinemas, and therefore it's kind of, is it really Oscar worthy if it wasn't even released?
Yeah, so that's the thing. With Netflix, this is how they do it now. If Netflix want to be sneaky and get nominated for awards, they put their film out and they let it go to movies for 2 weeks. So they put it in cinemas for 2 weeks and they're like, oh, it's in cinemas for 2 weeks. And after 2 weeks, you can watch it on Netflix whenever you want. Mm. And then that's how they're able to get through the guidelines where it can actually be nominated for Best Picture. But you're right, Sean, they didn't get given it because that would be acknowledging that Netflix movies are kind of good. And then people would go, I don't need to go to the movies. I can just sit at home and watch Netflix movies because they're Oscar worthy.
So why don't Netflix, what's the incentive of taking a movie off from the cinemas after 2 weeks? Why couldn't you just leave it for the whole course of a normal period? Why does Netflix take it back onto its platform?
I think it's because it's just not profitable for them in, like, the long term. So if they put something out, they're like, hey, guys, so this is this film coming out. It's kind of niche. It's kind of arty-farty, that sort of thing. Let's go see it. We're going to keep it in pictures for 2 months or something. And then you realize people only wanted to go for the first 3 days because everyone else is like, I don't want to go pay for that. I've already paid for Netflix for the month.
Mm. You're so wise. That's why you're the movie dude review. So Roma... Reviewer, maybe. Roma, you're just a review in general. That's just your noun, basically. So Roma didn't quite get there, but Green Book did. I hadn't even heard of it. I couldn't tell you which actors or actresses are in it. When did you see it? Have you seen it recently, or had you already seen it?
I saw Green Book about a month ago. So I was already in it because I like to see all the Oscar movies before the Oscars so I can sit there and go, oh, that was bad. That didn't deserve to win, which is kind of what I was doing for most of the night.
That's so you.
Okay, let's talk about Green Book. Let's actually find out what this movie's about. So Green Book is about Dr. Don Shirley. And this is an African-American pianist. So he's incredibly talented. He can play anything. He's a real-life story, real-life person, all this kind of stuff. And he's doing a tour of the Deep South in America. And this is in the 1960s. I think it's 1962. And doing the tour, he needs someone to protect him, basically, which sounds like horrible. But he needs someone to drive him around, someone to make sure no one kind of, you know, tries to start any trouble with him. And so he's looking around for a bodyguard, and he comes across Tony Lip, who is this Italian-American. He's from the Bronx. And he...
Johnny Tightlips. I ain't saying none.
That's the strange thing. It's legit. Just kind of, he comes off as this stereotype, Johnny Tightlips, like Tony Lip. He comes in, he's like, oh, hey, forget about it.
Don't worry, I don't say anything.
Yeah, he's this big, tough guy. He works as a bouncer at one of the clubs where he just chucks people out, that sort of thing, punches people in the face. Big, tough Italian-American. And Dr. Don Shirley is like, okay, he's all very calm, reserved, like incredibly, it seems like he's, you'd almost say, like, are you on the spectrum or something? Because he doesn't seem to be showing any emotions. But he thinks that Tony Lip is where he should go with. So Tony signs up. He goes, you're going to pay me $600. Drive around. That's more Stallone, sorry.
So, and then he obviously takes the job. Otherwise, the movie, again, wouldn't be very eventful.
Yeah, he takes the job, and he drives Don Shirley around to all these big performances in the South, so at concert halls, at rich white people's homes, that sort of thing. And along the way, they learn lessons about each other, and a friendship blooms and this sort of thing. And so this is where the controversy comes from, Sean. People kind of see it and they're like, oh, it's a white savior movie where the white guy's, he's showing the black guy that not everyone's so bad. And then at the end, they're friends. But people who are saying this, they clearly haven't actually seen the film.
Right.
Because it's not about Don Shirley learning that white people are all good or anything like that. It's about Tony Lip kind of learning lessons from Shirley the whole film. He's learning, you know, he's learning to be more cultured. He's learning to kind of speak to his wife better, that sort of thing. He's learning that, you know, everyone's a person, blah, blah, blah. It's not, yeah, it's not trying to teach white people stuff. It's not trying to teach black people stuff. It's just, it's a friendship movie and a road trip movie.
Okay, so whereas the critics are sort of focusing on Shirley, they really should have their eyes on Lip.
Yeah, and it's technically Tony Lip's the main guy. He's played by Viggo Mortensen, who you'll remember from Lord of the Rings. He's Aragorn.
Oh, yeah, I love him.
Yeah, and you can't tell it's him because you're like, where's your sword?
Well, and also, does he have the same long hair? Do you know how in Lord of the Rings it looks like none of them have washed for days, which is realistic to the movie, to the book rather, but you sort of look at them and like, guys, like, take a break and have a shower at some stage. Wash your hair, Aragorn. Your hair looks like it hasn't been shampooed for days. Get some Pantene Pro-V.
Well, Tony still looks like he hasn't showered for days because he's kind of like, hey, I don't need to shower.
Hey, what's the matter?
Yeah, his whole thing is he just loves eating food and everything like that, and he's got short black hair, it's greased back, all this kind of stuff. He's just a massive grease ball, and you're allowed to say that. Don Shirley, though, is played by Mahershala Ali, who won Best Supporting Actor for Moonlight. He's also the main character in True Detective Season 3. He's great. He was in House of Cards. Great actor. He also won Best Supporting Actor for this movie this year. So he's just smashing goals.
Yeah, he's doing well because that I heard pretty good things about that True Detective Season 3. But we'll talk about that another time. So what, the Oscar for the Best Picture, do you agree with Oscar if there is such a man called Oscar?
Well, here's the thing, Sean. Green Book is good. It's perfectly acceptable, that sort of thing. I wouldn't have given it to Roma either because I don't think that has the sort of appeal that something like Green Book would have, where everyone's able to sit down, watch it, and go, oh, yeah, oh, that was fun. If I were to pick Best Picture, Sean, you know what I would have gone with?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
No.
Who would you have gone with?
I would have gone with A Star Is Born.
You're such a little love-struck little man, you. Staying up late watching the Oscars and sharing, you know, serenades with your girl of choice. Why A Star Is Born? Just because you love Bradley Cooper?
Well, of course, just because I love Bradley Cooper. But also, I felt like that was possibly one of the most... It was a story that appealed to a lot of people. It made money, that sort of thing. It had real good bangers in it. It was really good acted. Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga. And also, Bradley Cooper did everything. He directed it, he wrote it, he even wrote the music. He was the main actor in it. And he got nothing the entire night. No one cared. They gave them best song, but Lady Gaga got that. And you know what I found weird? Lady Gaga got the Oscar for best song. All she had to do was put Bradley Cooper co-wrote it, and he would have got an Oscar. But she didn't.
Is it? Do you think it's sort of almost kosher because it's a remake of a movie?
Well, yeah, it's the fourth time it's been remade, and I think they were kind of like, you know, we've done this.
It's won awards before, I'm sure, so why give it more awards, accolades? Is that what you think they're saying?
Yeah, I think it was more just like, oh, yeah, it was good, but it wasn't great. So they gave it to Green Book to avoid any Netflix controversy. They avoided Bohemian Rhapsody because the director, Bryan Singer, has his own cheeky little controversy going on.
And they avoided a remake of A Star Is Born. So they're just avoiding movies, basically. This is the Stephen Bradbury of movies.
Yeah, this Green Book was a safe choice where everyone could go, oh, why would that pick? And everyone's going to forget it within 6 months that it actually won. It's a good movie. It's not going to be, you know, talked about in 2 years' time.
It's no Jurassic Park.
It's no Jurassic Park, sure.
Before we go on to the ratings, what's your thoughts on Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga? So he's married with kids. She's got a semi-partner, but I think they might be over. They're very chummy, Cooper and Gaga. What's your thoughts on that? You watched the Oscars.
Well, sure. I'm not going to say I've done research on this, but I may have looked into some things. And Lady Gaga split up with her fiancé about 10 days ago, sure.
What?
And that's before the Oscars.
What?
And then I may have read an article yesterday that Bradley Cooper's, it's not his wife, they're not married, but they do have a child together. So his partner unfollowed Lady Gaga on Instagram yesterday.
That is my jaw dropping to the floor. So, look, it sounds like gossip, but fact. Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, a new item.
And you know what? I'm fine with that.
Me too. I'm completely fine. All right, how many bad Italian accents does Green Book get out of 5?
Green Book gets 3 bad Italian accents out of 5. It's perfectly serviceable, okay? If you sit down, you're going to have, first of all, 2 great acting performances. The story, it's a true story. There's kind of a lot of things that kind of, you know, feel a bit stereotypical, where it's like, oh, this is where we're going to do the dramatic crying scene, that sort of thing. But it's kind of funny as well. They have a lot of fun with it. And I think, you know what? Guess who directed Green Book?
I have no idea.
Yeah, well, don't worry. No one knows their name, but it's the guy who made Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, so he's still around, because that's a movie from the 90s. Wow.
Yeah. So the guy who made Dumb and Dumber, Something About Mary, all those kind of movies, is now Best Picture winner.
Well done to him, obviously. Congratulations. Now, we should move on, though, to our little review that, you know, that we do after this. I've got 3 choices for you.
Okay. Do you want me to pick a number between 1 and 3?
No. I'll tell them and you decide which one you want me to go hectic on, to use your words. You were at the Eminem concert a couple of nights ago, so we could do 8 Mile starring Eminem and Brittany Murphy, or we could do a movie I saw just the other night with Bradley Cooper as well called Limitless, or we could do the Netflix series that I've been watching, binge watching for last week, which I've kind of got sick of, called Love Sick.
Oh, this is tough, Sean. This is really tough. What would you put? Okay, let's stick with the Oscar theme, and let's go with 8 Mile, because they won the Oscar for Best Song as well, much like A Star Is Born.
Yeah, great. So this one, I haven't actually seen this for a very long time, but it's kind of like the biopic of Eminem, starring Eminem. Obviously, it's dramatized as well. This guy, if you know anything about Eminem, it's basically his story. He's from the slums. He's got a mother who sort of is a bit off the rails a little bit, in an abusive relationship with the stepdad. Eminem, or Marshall Mathers is what his real name is, he's sort of taking care of her, but he's also trying to break into the rap scene. But he's white, and predominantly rappers aren't white. So he's trying to get in there, and he shows some talent. He's also working at this factory to try and pay for, you know, his mum's caravan and help that out. He also has a younger sister who is his pride and joy. He's looking after her. All these relationships, Brittany Murphy gets thrown in there as well. He's trying to break in. There's all this racial tension. He's kind of a bad boy. Heaps happening. It sort of goes in a linear plot to the great song, of course, Lose Yourself. You may know it. It's a great song to sing along to. That's kind of, he ends up rapping that at the very end. That doesn't give too much away. That is the climax of the movie. And it kind of just goes from there. I think 8 Mile is the road where going into the town that he sort of lives.
Yeah, in Detroit.
Yeah, is there anything else? I think that's mainly it, really. It's pretty funny in bits. Like him, he's got a couple good mates who are African-American who are also rappers. There's a bit of betrayal as well in there. He's trying to chase this record label as well as just juggling all these things. Just the story of a man who's struggling with the American life, who has a dream, and that's to be a white rapper.
Sean, you have nailed the White Rapper Chronicle. And I think all I would add to this was, the film, there's 3 or 4 scenes where he's having rap battles, and that's where they're kind of, you know, based around the film, kind of building it up at these rap battles, which culminates at the end with this massive, you know, Eminem comes to the front. I think he calls himself B Rabbit in that film, doesn't he? Eminem.
He does, actually. He's Rabbit because there's a rap, and I can't remember it, but I used to know it off. No, in Lose Yourself, he calls himself Rabbit.
Yeah.
In the first verse. So that's that little bit of, you know, pop culture for you. Is anyone listening a fan of Eminem? Put your hand up. No, I don't see any hands. Have we picked a bad movie for the end? It's a good movie, though. Good movie.
It's a good movie. There's no denying that.
It would have been pretty close to the Oscars for Best Film of that year, right?
You know what? I don't know. I don't think it was even nominated for Best Film, but I can do a quick check for it, Sean, because I care about strict research thing.
Unfortunately, I have editing capacity. Which is always handy.
We'll have a look. It won Best Song.
Okay.
That was it.
And so it wasn't even nominated for anything.
It doesn't look like it.
That's a shame. Anyway, look, we'll have to wrap this up, but I will give this 5 out of White Rappers out of 5. It's pretty good. I remember it really fondly. 3.5, 4? Maybe 4. What about 4 White Rappers? 4 Lose Yourselves.
4 is definitely fair. 4 White Rappers, which I think there's only 4 White Rappers anyway.
Yeah, probably. What? Draft? What? Do you know how there's those white Australian rappers who are just kind of singing about, you know, milk shops and paying the mortgage and stuff? Like, yo, yo, I'll go pay the bill for my Foxtel. Yo, it's hard to do white rapping Australia. Because there's no issues in Australia. Anyway.
No, you nailed it. That is white rapping Australia. Are you sure you don't play for the Hilltop Hood?
There's literally a song called The Waitress Song by someone, Seth Century, and it is such a bad song. When you look at Kendrick Lamar and Kanye and what they're singing about and the troubles they go up against, and then you've got a guy singing about a waitress, Simo.
You know what? I hope you get him on the show.
We'll leave it there, Simo. It's been an absolute pleasure, as always, this morning. I'm looking forward to catching up with you next week.
You know, buddy.
Oh, God. I just...